The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
What's up, y'all? Got some exciting news to share. We've been nominated for a Webby Award. Just to give you some context, over 14,000 projects were submitted across the various categories, and being selected puts us in the top 12% of all podcasts in the world. We were selected as a finalist for the category of best podcast in diversity and inclusion. And so I need your help. We have about a week left for voting. So I need you to click the link in the description of this show and vote. It'll take just a moment, share with the family, share with friends. And I look forward to celebrating with you. Thank you so much.
Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Investor Spotlight. And today features Vernon Beckford from episode 120, the CEO of Diversified Solutions. And man, they work with all kinds of clients from the $5 million to $50 million range in terms of their financing for the real estate deals. And so it's so dope to hear about people who operate in this range of real estate deals. And so Vernon in this spotlight is going to unpack what life is like doing these kind of deals. So tap in, let's get into it. Here it is, Vernon Beckford, episode 120, the Black Real Estate Dialogue Investor Spotlight. Let's get into it.
The other aspect that I really like about the business is you're enabling yourself to capture more of the market, because you mentioned if someone has a single family or three, four unit, whatever it is, on a much smaller scale, that y'all will actually fund that deal yourself. Can you talk a bit more about that? And is that something that was part of it from the beginning, or was it added on, over like the last year or so?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So originally, when we started the business, we were actually a little bit of the victim of the same problem that we're talking about. Our original goal, frankly, was to raise a large pool of capital that we could use to fund directly into communities that we felt strongly about. And especially in the wake of all of the social unrest that's been going on in this country, we felt like it was a really interesting opportunity to raise capital around that and really kind of take control of our own narrative, our own communities. And the only way to do that is if we're funding each other, right? When COVID happened, again, everything changed. And so that paradigm shifted so much that, frankly, for us, we said, okay, that should be a part of our business. But given the, you know, the volatility in the market, you know, let's step into the market as an advisor, frankly. Let's help people navigate all of this confusion, and let's scale into the capital over time. And that's basically where we got the hybrid model. And that's what brought us to today.
Got it. Love it. Love it. Love it. So I know you have, we spoke off camera through messages and stuff. And I know there are a couple of things that you shared with me that I want to discuss some more. So one of them is creating a powerful and persuasive narrative to obtain funding. You know, a lot of times people think, you know, I just signed this application or and sent it to the bank, but you get to a point when you grow and that's not enough. So, and many people may not have thought about that, but once you get bigger, like it's just different. So can you talk more about that?
Sure. So the easiest way for me to explain it is I'm a diehard comic book fan. And at the end of the day, the comic book is all about the story, right? And as much as finance is about numbers, It's also about the story. It's about the narrative. It's about why should someone care enough to stop what they're doing and focus on you? And unlike the residential mortgage market, this isn't a commoditized, you know, product where you could replace one house for the next house. You know, it's effectively, you know, a three bed, two bath is a three bed, two bath. In this case, it's really about the business plan. Who are you? What do you plan to do? And why do you, what facts can you share with me to convince me that that plan makes sense? And so what I find is that people fall in love with their own transactions. They decide, okay, the price is right. And they assume other people will have kind of just through osmosis understand why the deal was so attractive and then just drop it on somebody's desk and expect them to race to want to fund them. That's naive, right? That doesn't really make a lot of sense in today's world. So from our vantage point, it's two narratives. It's a narrative around the sponsor personally. What have you done? What makes you qualified? And if you don't have a ton of track record, what can we do to augment what you do have to make you look as qualified as you probably are? And then on the deal side, what are the factors that make this an attractive transaction? Are you buying it at an attractive price? Are the cash flows that you're going to be generating relative to the purchase price very attractive? Are you in a position where you think that you're in a rapidly appreciating market? There are all these factors, and those are the good. And then there are all these negative factors that, again, a lot of people just kind of glaze over and don't address when they walk someone into a deal. The best operators, in my opinion, are the ones that aren't trying to sell me or sell an investor, but can very clearly explain what the risks of their own deal are and how they manage them. Because to me, that tells me that you're thoughtful, you're acknowledging of the fact that things can go wrong, and you're taking steps to prepare for how to manage those, as opposed to the rosy story approach, which is, hey, it's a great deal. Okay, maybe good luck, but that's not going to, you know, that's certainly not going to impress folks. And I'll say that that's especially the case for folks like us, folks of color. I'll say folks from all underrepresented groups, for women. You can't underestimate, and it's not always the case, but you can't underestimate the fact that bias plays a role in people's decision making. Most people like to work with people that look like them. So I find a lot, unfortunately, a lot of folks from underrepresented groups don't do themselves any favors because they don't provide all of the ammunition that would make someone say, listen, I have to do this deal with them. There's no reason for me to explain why I would.
Love it. Love it. Love it. And I'd love to talk a bit more about the smaller investor side and just some of those deals that you funded. You mind if we talk about some of those and
sure,
perhaps how some of those were structured? I was looking on the website and I know there are a couple of different options in the menu. Sure. we could talk about that. You know, I'm sure we have some listeners who are on the smaller side who maybe didn't have funding for a deal. So I think it's a good time.
Absolutely. So really excited. One of the most recent deals we funded was an Airbnb loan. And if you remember, I told you my partner was early into the Airbnb game. So that's a business we like, and that's a business we understand. And so there was a borrower who, successful real estate operator, had actually built a family home in Hilton Head, South Carolina, beautiful beachfront property, and had started to rent it out as an Airbnb. That evolved as an event planning space, and he generated a nice little side business out of that property. And so in an effort to raise liquidity for his other real estate projects, he was looking for a long-term loan on this property. And we financed him a 10-year loan. And he at the time had very little debt on him. And so we were happy to accommodate his loan request. And we funded him 70% loan to value loan. And that in my mind was a win-win for a lot of reasons. One, it's always cool when you can help someone grow their own business. So the liquidity that we funded on this deal actually helped him on his next project. Mm-hmm. And I think from his vantage point, he was so convinced that he said, listen, I have an Airbnb property. I call up my bank. I can't get anything from these guys. They don't want to do it. I called up the hard money guy. He's like 8, 9, 10%. He was really happy that he found an alternative that was affordable, that was reasonable, and he could work with people who he knew respected him and wanted to see him win. And we wanted to see him win, and we got that deal done. So that's just one example. That was an $800,000 loan. And that was, you know, a relatively small deal, but really impactful in, mm-hmm. in all the ways that it got done. So it's not uncommon to see a property like that, or a $500,000 townhouse or brownstone in an urban market, let's say a Jersey City or a Baltimore or a Charlotte or Atlanta, where you have that operator, he or she is climbing up bit by bit, and they really don't have a go-to. And traditionally, the go-to would either be a hard money lender that would be really expensive, maybe their local bank, but in many cases not, and or some of the private lenders who have emerged over the last couple of years. But the thing with the private lenders that people don't fully appreciate is because they don't hold their loans on balance sheet, and they're ultimately securitizing their loans, meaning they're pulling them and selling them as bonds, the pricing of their loans varies dramatically from mm-hmm. 1 week to the next. And anybody who's in the business today can appreciate how much rates have jumped up on that product. So to be able to speak to someone that you can actually get some transparency from goes a long way when those are really your only options in the market today.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.